But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If there's one thing that we've been warned about in this world, if there's one thing we've been warned about in the Scriptures over and over again, from the beginning to the end, it is pride. There's hardly a time in human history and in any culture when pride was not shunned by the wise. The Bible itself begins with Eve taking of the apple in Eden because she was ready to believe the suggestion that she ought to think higher of herself than she does. And Adam went right along with that. And that they both should think worse of God. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 14, or verse 13, writes of Lucifer's fall from heaven, for he believed he should, because of his great beauty, rise up above God. And for this he was brought down to hell, the Scriptures tell us. All of the proverbs of the Scripture and even of secular wisdom traditions generally warn against pride. Pride comes before a fall. This is not only the word of God at the hand of King Solomon. It sounds like your mom at the same time. In the Old Testament lesson for today, we hear of the prophet Jeremiah's dire warning to God's people at Judah, saying, Hear ye, give ye ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. And speaking to Judah just before the Babylonians came down and conquered them, he writes, But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, Humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. In today's gospel, we hear from Jesus himself about pride. And this time through what I think of as the supper chapter, or perhaps the etiquette chapter. For it's all about dinner, where to sit, how to act, and even whom you should invite. Having been invited to a dinner at the house of one of the Pharisees, Jesus comes in and begins making trouble immediately. Probably as the Pharisees were hoping he would. He heals a man on the Sabbath day in direct disobedience to their interpretation of God's commandment. And knowing what they're thinking about this, he's frustrated with these religious folks for saying to them, you have this upside down and backwards. You would go out and help your animals out of a ditch if they fell into one on the Sabbath, but you'd prefer that I set men free from their bondage on some other day. Do you really believe that your animals are more important than the people that I heal? And there's no answer. This is just the beginning. Jesus begins to talk to those who are attending the dinner after watching how they've seated themselves, saying, When you go to a dinner, don't sit at the highest place if no one has asked you to. The one who invited you might have to come over and give you the high sign that more important people have come and you need to go sit back over by the vending machines where you belong. Rather, sit at the lowest seat so that if it's right for you to be elevated to a better seat, they can invite you, saying, Friend, come higher. In this way, you shall be made worthy rather than by presumption about your great worth. Now, this is a trick. Is Jesus really teaching us how not to be embarrassed at a dinner party? If you only read the surface of the parable or the etiquette that seems to be taught, this seems to be the reason that we ought to be humble. If you're proud, you might get embarrassed someday. Don't be proud because it might hurt your pride. What? Is that the message? Is this really what's going on here? Don't cross up the rules of etiquette for the sake of your pride to preserve it. That can't be right. I think the next section really helps to illuminate. In the next paragraph of St. Luke chapter 14, Jesus starts to tell the guests about whom they should invite to a dinner like the one that they're at, saying, when you have a dinner, don't invite your friends. Don't invite important people. Don't invite rich people or those that you hope to impress, etc. If you invite these people, they're going to feel like they have to repay you, and we'll invite you back over so that you'll be even. I know we all have relationships like that. You dare not give a gift because they'll give a gift in exactly the equal amount, or perhaps they'll outdo you, and now what are you going to do? Rather, you should invite people over that have no ability to repay you, the poor. Have them over so that your reward will be in heaven and not here. Now, in a small sense, we're still talking about pride here, but we're not simply talking about tamping down the fires of pride that burn within us. Now we're talking about eliminating the fuel for pride altogether. And so the message here is another one we have to think about. Is Jesus really instructing us so that we'll have a better reward? Some folks would love to hear the gospel this way. If I read this, I will not have my pride hurt, and I'll get a nicer reward. Those don't seem to add up to a very Christ-like attitude, so you've got to read carefully. Is it that he wants us now to feel bad about having our friends over? That doesn't make sense. Is it that the essence of the gospel and the great point that Jesus is making is that you should constantly be uncomfortable? I don't think so. Instead, think of this. St. Paul entreats us in his letter to the Philippians with these words, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Now that's not so far from taking the lowest seat at a banquet and having one say, "Friend, come up higher." That's the mind we're to have in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, which he's teaching in the parable. Take the lowest seat at a banquet. What is that but to imitate Christ and to have the same mind? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, not just so that you won't be embarrassed when you're knocked off of your high horse, but so that from a low place you can be raised up by the master of the house when he says to you, "Friend, come up higher." Just as Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death on the cross, and just as God exalted him to the right hand, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth. What is it to have salvation in Christ? To have reward. It is not that God will remain over there and we will remain over here and he will toss us once in a while a reward, a justification, a crown of glory. These may come also, but the absolute essence of salvation is union with Christ himself. What was undone in the garden is being reversed. Have this mind in you. A broken fellowship with God is healed in this way, and separation from God is abolished, and we once again commune with God and participate in him, all because he came down from his throne, took the lowest place at the banquet, dwelt with us, united himself to us, and heard that voice, "Friend, come up higher." And now we are destined for glory. God has set eternity in our hearts, and both this will be ours as we are in Christ and as he is in us. And what is it that he is saying in these parables then? But this very thing, Do not seek to make yourself something. Rather, make it your goal to be Christ-like. Seek first the kingdom of God, it says elsewhere in the scriptures, so that in Christ we may also receive with him the ultimate call, friend, come up higher. To be honest, to be called friend would be good enough. And then what is this uncomfortable message about inviting only the poor? Yuck. Those who cannot repay the dinner at your house. Well, before you say yuck, that is to be utterly Christ-like too, isn't it? And you have to think about this continually from God's perspective. For who are the poor to him that were invited to the banquet? You and me. Who are the uncomfortable people that it would be difficult to have over to the house because they might mess something up or take something valuable or leave a stain? We are those people invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb without any possibility of repayment, could not be repaid, yet invited to God's table. Can it be self-seeking to imitate Christ so that our reward will be great in heaven? Can it be un-Christ-like to try and be Christ-like so that we'll have a reward? I think it's best not to even venture into these mental pretzels, because reward in heaven is not 3 bags of gold rather than 2 or some silly thing like that, but rather the greatest reward. Not only to have this mind in you, but to be made one with our Lord and our God, participants in his love, a perfect love that casts out all fear, without sin, without death, and to be whole as we are created to be. I would take that over 3 bags of gold. The reward is to be called up higher. And so as we approach the altar on this Lord's Day, listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Hear ye, give ye ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God. And listen to our Lord, with whom we come to seek communion. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Friend, come up higher. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.